Hi, everybody. I'm Sunny, and this is We Gotta Talk, a live weekly digital talk show and podcast where we like to dig deep. Real talk, big topics. Now, let's dig in. Hey, everybody. Welcome to We Gotta Talk. We're back on video. If you're not watching this, you're listening to this, but I'm putting my face back on camera because that's what I've been told helps with the algorithm. So here we are. I've put some lip gloss on for you. I've tried to calm my nerves to a point where I can record this podcast and not get spontaneously nauseous because some surprise findings in the pre-Nuvo scan. So if you came here for this episode, you saw the title. Today we are going to be talking all about the pre-Nuvo MRI. It's a whole body, or depending on, I guess, what you get, partial body MRI scan that you can get to get a picture of your overall health. So this gained a lot of popularity, I would say about 2 years ago now, when Maria Menounos, we love her, came out and gave an interview that she had found a stage one tumor in her pancreas because of this scan. She was on a preventive health kick, as so many of us are, and decided to do this whole body scan, get an idea of her health. And this is something she found. And thankfully, they were able to remove the tumor and catch this in an early enough stage before it caused any issues. So pre-Nuvo, it's been around for a while, but it got a huge boost in popularity because of that. I know that's when it came onto my radar and the radar of a lot of other people. And today we're going to talk about what it is, what it's like, what it involves, like what the day of process is like, and whether or not it's worth it. And of course, my own results. Kind of opened a Pandora's box when I decided to do this. Initially, I set up the interview to only talk with someone from the company and get an idea of the technology. And I was like, you know what? It probably makes sense for me to do it too. So the PR team kindly arranged for me to get a scan gratis. So I want you to know going into this, I did not pay for this scan, but as always, that will not impact and does not impact my honest review of the whole thing, what it was like and whether or not it's worth it. So we'll talk about all of those things today, and we're going to run through what it looks like if you want to do this. So let's start at the very, very beginning. What is this? It's a no contrast, closed MRI. Yes, you do go into a tube, and it is a, if you're claustrophobic, could be a little bit of a daunting process. We'll talk more in depth about this. I do not have claustrophobia. I quite enjoy closed spaces. When I was young, I would hide in the wooden toy box and just hope that no one found me. I wonder more actually what that says about my personality. But anyhow, small spaces don't bother me. This is a question I got time and time again because I feel like this is justifiably, they've kind of rebranded the MRI process. But at the end of the day, it's an MRI. So it's pretty standard as far as what the equipment is and sort of how it looks for the user. No radiation. So MRI is magnetic resonance imaging. Let's Google it just to make sure she doesn't want to be spreading false info. MRI, magnetic resonance imaging. Ha, love it. So yeah, there's no radiation exposure. It's non-invasive. And it gives you a detailed image of the internal structure of the body. So that includes your organs, your bones, your muscles, your blood vessels by using magnetic and radio waves. So I got a couple of questions. I opened up a question box the day that I went to Boca Raton for my scan. And that was one of the questions. Oh, you're nervous. You're exposing yourself to radiation. This is not radiation. So that's a huge draw, in fact, is the ability for you to get this detailed information without really exposing yourself to anything potentially dangerous. So yeah, that's what it's like. There are several locations nationwide. I will link to Pre-Nuvo's website so you can check out where they currently are. But I did ask the staff, and they are growing in don't know if you call them franchises, they're growing their footprint pretty drastically. So that your chances are going to be seeing them at multiple locations where they are not right now. I'm based in Orlando. So I did the scan in Boca Raton. If you watched on Instagram, I did. I mean, I was equally excited to use the Brightline train to go down to Boca for my scan. It was a really seamless process. For any of my listeners who are in the Central Florida or Orlando area, guys, this it can't be easier on this train. You get on, you park right at the airport. You board 5 minutes before the train. It's not this whole, you know, arrive 2 hours before, a beautiful lounge. You can grab, actually you can't grab a drink if you're doing the scan, but we'll get to that. But they have like a nice cafe set up. They have incredibly good Wi-Fi on board. I was able to hold a Zoom meeting on the train. It's that good. It's new, it's fresh, it's great. We slowed down a couple of times, but when you arrive at Boca, the Prenuvo office is less than a half mile away. I think it was like a 7 minute walk. So cannot attest to an easier process as far as getting there if you're coming from Central Florida or in any of those areas. So definitely that made a big difference in getting there, because when Prenuvo first reached out about doing the scan, they gave me a list of several dates. And I think I booked like the week before and they gave me these options and I was like, oh, this is next Thursday. Can I make it happen? Super, super easy. So if you're near one, you should check their locations. If you're near one, you're going to want to book as far in advance as you can, because they do tend to book out fairly quickly. I asked specifically if they have like a high rate of cancellation, if, you know, it's worth people who are in town getting on a cancellation list. And they said typically within 3 days of the scan itself, they do not see a lot of cancellations. But if you're calling a location and you want to get on and you know that's where you want to go, call as soon as you can. If the date you need or want is not available, get on the waiting list. They said they do occasionally get cancellations and you could get in and do the thing. The cost. Okay. So this varies. The whole body scan is $2,499. If you do head and torso only, $1,799, $1,800. And the torso only is $999. So I got a lot of questions as to whether or not this would be covered by insurance. Impossible to answer entirely because everybody's plans are going to be different. But chances are no. You can submit. I'm not an insurance expert, and I'm sure there's somebody out there who sort of gets the nuances of this more than I do. But perhaps if there were a diagnostic order for this and you were getting an MRI anyway, or your doctor wanted you to get one, and you chose this instead of, say, a standard other type of MRI location, I guess there's a chance you could submit it sort of in lieu of that. But that's sort of at your own peril. Chances are it's not going to be covered by insurance, according to the people that I spoke with on the Prenuvo staff. The upside is if you have an HSA, which is, you know, that account you donate to usually at the end of a calendar or beginning of a calendar year, those tax-free dollars that go toward medicine or any other sort of medical need you have, you can use that. So if I had any HSA left, I would, and I had to pay for it, which again, this was gratis, but if I did, I would have used that. It's not free still, but knowing that certainly does help. Okay, so we covered cost. Why would you want to do Prenuvo? Okay, we'll talk about this when I share my results at the end of the episode, but let me tell you what my mindset was going into this. I am a fan of a voluntary procedure of getting a peek into my current health state. I'm talking about this. Hold on. The pit stains are forming. The adrenaline is pumping. The stress is peaking. I have historically done things preventively, trying to get a picture of my current health. There's a lot of cancer on one side of my family. And, you know, there's dementia in a couple people. I feel like that was more of a lifestyle type of situation. My very professional medical opinion, it was a lifestyle decision that caused it. I don't know that for sure. But anyhow, on one side and on the other side, there's diabetes. I mean, there's just a bunch of stuff. I mean, all of us have this. There's a history of something in everybody's family, chances are, whether it's something slight or small or bigger. But I feel like I grew up with like a greater sense of mortality. My dad's dad died when he was young, when he was a teenager. And even though I, thank God, knock on wood, did not experience that young childhood trauma of losing someone, when you grow up with a parent who did have that and who was hyper aware of their health as a result of it, my papa, my dad's father, passed away from cancer. And back then, by the time they found it, it had metastasized and it has spread. And my dad grew up essentially without a father, and it's sad. And my aunt as well. And it's a familiar and difficult story for so many people. So, you know, it's not different than a lot of people, but what it instilled in me is an awareness from a very young age that, like, not everybody gets to live a long time. And that could have been my very sort of intense OCD-informed interpretation of life and health and things. Was it the healthiest mindset to have? I don't know, but that's who I am. That's who I think I've always been, just sort of understanding, like, a bigger picture. And if you could know, for example, if my grandfather could know prior to his diagnosis and his death at 42, would he have taken that opportunity? So I think there is a philosophical question to address here before you think about doing this. And that is, what do you really want to know? Do you really want to know what's happening in your body? Because people can tell you, but you have to be prepared to accept it. And therein lies the rub. So you don't need to do this, of course, unless you have an outstanding medical condition and your doctor is diagnostically prescribing this. No, you don't need to do this without a doctor's orders. But I like to lean in toward preventive care. I've talked about doing the Dutch test and other related saliva and urine panels for my hormones. I keep a close eye on those. I did the genetic cancer marker test. It's a company called Myriad, and I did it through my OBGYN. So I did that. I did 23andMe. So I found out my genetic markers for other types of illness and disease, everything from macular degeneration to diabetes to dementia. I mean, everything. I did that. What else did I do preventively? Something else will come to me. But basically, I'm information curious, and this cuts both ways. It's really good to know what's happening and what it does do, especially with the hormones. And I can't beat this drum enough. I feel like that is something that's worth keeping an eye on and keeping tabs on a consistent basis, because they impact so much. Like, my mental health is quite literally tied into my hormone health. And that is the case for every woman I know. So that I'll always be sort of preventive with, and I'll always keep tabs on. The other stuff, the Myriad test in particular, which was that genetic test I did for cancer markers, it produced the same sense of, like, intense anxiety in me that this test did. And so I will warn you, if you're doing this stuff, put on your big girl panties. Because when that phone call comes and the doctor on the other end, or the medical expert in some way, is like, we've got your results in, you want to simultaneously throw up, crap your pants, and sweat through every item of clothing. It's kind of scary. Is it wonderful to have that information? Yes. Is it also terrifying? Yes. So be prepared. All of that to say, I think tests like Prenuvo are going to continue to gain popularity. And whether or not that's a good thing, which is something I hope to discuss either later in this episode or with an upcoming one with an actual medical doctor, I think they will grow in popularity because our culture these days is one that is obsessed with health monitoring and tracking. And you're Googling your symptoms the minute you have them, and you're asking your doctor friends questions anyway about this weird thing you're feeling. So there's a market for it. Whether or not it's for you in particular, that's entirely subjective, but I do think this test will continue to grow in popularity. And I think another reason that people are seeking this out, or that you or someone else might seek it out, is people feel let down by our medical system. I am not qualified enough on a super detailed level to get into, you know, detailed criticism of the American medical system. But I do know anecdotally that I have walked away from many appointments with doctors in previous years, not so much as an adult, like in my 40s and beyond, because I finally learned to ask all the questions that I have, to ask and ask until I get the answer I need, blah, blah, blah. But there have been many times where I felt unsatisfied with the time I got with the doctor, the understanding of a diagnosis or a treatment plan. And I think people are frustrated with particularly the lack of time they seem to get with their doctors and their medical professionals. And so that dissatisfaction with the traditional Western medicine system, the insurance system is essentially what it boils down to. It's driving people out into this preventive care market, into this self-testing market. And it's for better or for worse. When people don't feel heard or that their needs are being met within a certain system, they're going to seek other things. So that could be another reason you do this. Maybe you're like, hey, you know, this happened to me actually. I have dense breast tissue and I went to my gynecologist last year, got the order for my yearly mammogram. And I was like, you know what? I was diagnosed with dense breast tissue. Probably smart to add the ultrasound on because I don't want to come back and do it again. And they're like, we'll put it on there. Well, they didn't put it on there. And so what ended up happening was I got the mammogram that came back fine and dandy. And then 4 months later, I felt what I thought was a little bump in there and I had to go back and get the ultrasound anyway. And thank God everything was fine. But still, it's kind of frustrating to understand as a patient, hey, you already told me I have this situation. If we can go ahead and just add that to the order, it would save me the time, the effort, and the stress of going back and doing a test I already know I'm going to need because I've needed it before. And it's really frustrating. So anyway, these are all things that I think you should think about before you decide whether or not to book. Is this something that's fulfilling a need? Do you feel like you need more information and you're not getting it? Then absolutely, you could consider this. So before the scan, here's what you need to do before you actually go to your appointment. So we're booked already. We're gravy baby with the transportation. You're taking the Brightline. If you're coming from Orlando, you're knocking back a black coffee because you can't eat or drink any non-clear liquids 4 hours before. So you go online, do all of your medical history paperwork, make sure you get that done ahead of time. When you check in, I can, of course, only attest to the Boca location, but the first thing I noticed when I went in is that they really make an effort to make this feel premium, concierge, comfortable, sort of an upmarket. Like, you're not going in there thinking, I might find a deadly diagnosis today. You're thinking, they've got Netflix and a bunch of mints and granola bars and a coffee station in the corner. The creature comforts are many. And the decor was really beautiful. Decor. They make the experience luxurious, as luxurious as it could be in a way. So you're going to check in. You are handed an iPad where you can choose your in-flight entertainment, so to speak. You can go in and choose whatever show you want to watch on any streamer. And they lock in whatever it is. I picked Queer Eye. I feel like if there was ever a show to give me joy and distract me during an otherwise intense process, it would be Queer Eye. So I went in and I did the whole selection process, gave it back to the front desk. Within about 10 minutes, they led me back to the changing area. So each person is walked into like a small locker room type situation with a nice, beautiful built-in wooden locker. They lay out your scrubs for you. They lay out a bra. If you're a lady and you want to go in with some support, you can wear the bra they provide. You don't have to. You can freeball it. I did that. I mean, you're seeing inside my organs. At this point, there's really no need for additional modesty. So you set your clothes. Make sure, of course, all of the metal is off of your body. You can't go in with like one of those forever metal bracelets on. You're going to have to take that off. Nothing metal, no earrings, no nothing. All of that, no hair ties with metal in them, everything. They have a little cup there for you with a jewelry tray. I mean, they make it so comfortable. There's like a little table with a lamp on it, a beautiful jewelry tray, a little container with hair ties and cotton swabs if you want to wipe off your makeup. And then you will be escorted to another beautiful waiting area. This also had a coffee bar and was stacked full of the good snacks, like the protein bars that are like at Whole Foods, like $4.99 a piece, like good stuff, a little cappuccino and latte coffee machine, the works, but you still can't drink it. So don't get too excited. Then you go into the actual MRI hallway. I don't know how many were in Boca, and I meant to ask, I did see three entrances on my side to various sort of treatment rooms or whatever you want to call it. And you get the opportunity to then meet your radiologist, which was really great. I was assigned to Steven, who was absolutely incredible. This man has been doing this for, I think they said 30 years. He answers every question you have. I went in there. It's freezing, by the way, but it does warm up when your body is being sort of pounded with magnetic waves. So you don't have to worry too much about being cold. But Steven answered every question I had about everything from, you know, what it's going to be like in there or how quickly it takes to warm everything up or what exactly they're looking at. You get on the table and they kind of lock you into place. So they put weighted, almost like sandbag type things on the outside of your legs because it's kind of hard to stay completely straight for an hour and a half or an hour, not an hour and a half, 55 minutes, just under an hour without some sort of bumper situation. So they're going to put those on the outside of your calves. They're going to put them on the outside of your arms. They hand you this little squeezy ball, like a bike horn. And it makes a sound just strangely similar to an actual car horn. And that's your emergency brake. So if you have any moment in the scan where you're like, can't do it anymore, need to pull the ripcord, the is your emergency brake. You pull it, they shut down the machine, they pull you out. Next up, they outfit you with, and they put the cap over top of your body too. I didn't realize this was going to be a thing, but it's kind of like they're, I don't know what the medical purpose for this is, but something about so that the waves can bounce around and get the picture, but it's like a little plastic cap that covers over the top of your body, your torso, et cetera. And then finally, you are given a headpiece and it kind of has, I guess if you're watching me, you're seeing where I'm doing this. It's like kind of right in front of the eyes and to the sides, kind of over the temples. But basically it's like a plussed up virtual reality headset where you are going to see right in front of your eyes a small mirror. And what that mirror is doing is it's reflecting back to Queer Eye while you're watching that in the tube or whatever show you pick. So this is the key that I feel like makes this experience borderline enjoyable. Would that be the word? Maybe. You're watching TV right there in your headset. So it is set up for comfort. You're going in, and as soon as you're in, you have your headphones on, which are kind of like these podcast recording headphones I have on there. They cover the ears. They are noise canceling, but they also connect you to the person on the other side who's doing the imaging. So Steven could talk to me and hear me back. And throughout the whole process, you're getting cues to hold your breath, take a deep breath, hold your breath. Now you can exhale. And it's coming through your headset. You're always going to get a heads up when that's going to happen. So they're not going to just out of nowhere be like, hold your breath. It's coming with a warning ahead of time from the person doing the imaging. So Steven would hop on and say, hey, we're getting ready for another set of breath work or whatever the term is. But, you know, just a heads up in the next 30 seconds, this is going to start, try to relax and blah, blah, blah. So yeah, you're all outfitted. You're pulled into the tube. This is the part where you can't plus up the experience too much. At the end of the day, you're in an MRI machine. You're in a tube. And yes, it's close to you. It's very close to you. But again, the difference here is that you're watching something. You can also listen to music if that's more your thing and keep your eyes closed. But basically, you're in the machine. It is what it is. You hear the sounds of that like kind of pounding, boom, 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 boom. I also heard what I could only describe as kind of like a beeping car horn sound alternating with that pounding sort of heavy metal sound. But the headphones go a long way toward dulling that intensity. So it wasn't, when it happened, it wasn't jarring or startling in any way. It felt far away because of the headphones. And again, as with a traditional MRI, they're moving you know, sort of back and forth in the tube throughout the entirety of the process. The whole body scan, you're going to get some more of that. I would guess that with torso only, you're going to kind of pull in and park where you are. Or for head only, maybe it's the same situation, but for the full body, they're peeking at every little nook and cranny. So you're kind of moving back and forth. You have these cues for your breath work, et cetera. You're watching your show. You're enjoying yourself. I really did not find anything stressful about the in the tube part of the process. I found it to be really relaxing. You can request a sedative. That was a question I got too, from your own medical provider before you go in for this. So you can go in with a Valium, or I heard a woman say she took a Dramamine beforehand, or whatever, a CBD gummy, whatever it is. Don't take one with THC. My recommendation. I don't know if you want to have bad experience like being locked in a tube, but basically you can do whatever you and your doctor feel is appropriate if a sedative is needed to go in. Just make sure you have someone there to drive you home or to kind of get you out of the office. But you can absolutely do that. You're not going to get that from Prenuvo. So make sure that you are arranging that ahead of time. I got this question and I was unsure about how to answer because I have not had experience doing any other MRIs. Someone asked, what's different about this than other MRIs? I would say basically the creature comforts. Usually MRIs are in strictly medical spaces and you're going in and you're in like, hospital scrubs and it's in the end of a hospital and big doors and bad lighting. And, you know, it's like a medical building. I really do feel that Prenuvo goes out of its way to make the experience feel more homey and comforting. The lighting was low. Like I said, even down to the detail of like the little table lamp in the locker room with the jewelry tray, like they're making you feel at home. They set up all of their waiting rooms with snacks, understanding that everybody who goes in is probably going to be hungry when they get out. You do, by the way, have to fast for 4 hours beforehand. So make sure you're only drinking clear liquids, you know, black coffee or tea without any cream or sugar or water for those 4 hours. You don't want the time you spend to be in vain and by being all clogged up. You know what I mean? So don't eat for at least 4 hours. I would say that that's the sort of line of delineation, the great line of delineation between the Prenuvo experience and a traditional MRI. They go out of their way to spend time with you answering questions. Everyone from the front office staff who walked me literally to my locker room, to my treatment room or to my MRI room, and then escorted me back out and answered questions about what the next steps were. It's a very concierge feel. So I think, you know, it's hard to say. People say, is it worth it? There's a lot to think about. Is it worth it for your money? If you have the funds and it's something you want to do, sure. Is it worth it as far as what you can find out? This is what we're going to get into as I talk about my results. But it depends. This is such a subjective thing, but these are the things that I would want to know before I chose to do this. And I have to be honest with you, if I didn't get to do this experience for free, I would probably waffle back and forth quite a bit. And I don't know where I would land. It's a big financial investment to make to get information that could seriously disrupt your mental peace. I mean, I don't want to sugarcoat it. This is not, you're not going in to find out, you're not like talking to a hairstylist about what color should I get next. These aren't superficial things. You're literally looking through every layer of your body. So we'll talk about that. Okay, what happens after the scan? So your imaging is completed. I got to thank Steven, my amazing guy. They answered any questions I had on the back end. I was escorted back out to the locker room to get changed again. I went and I grabbed a snack. I grabbed a coffee on my way out. The front desk person sat down with me for a minute and explained what the next week or two would look like. Basically, what you can expect is to get your results within 5 to 10 business days. Now, the person I spoke with said this is sort of highly dependent on the type of traffic they have coming through their office. There were times I was told that results took up to 15 business days to get in because so many people had come in. I think he said around the holidays that it sort of pushed back the time to receive your results. For me, I got my results in 2 days on a weekend, when I was in like full chill mode, which was a great surprise in a good way, in the best way possible. I was like, oh, here we go. It's a Saturday at like 2 p.m. and my caller ID, I see Prenuvo buzz, buzz, buzzing me on the weekend to be like, hey, are you ready to know if you're going to die in the near future? not really, but you know, it's just like, it's like heavy stuff. Not going to lie. So you're told all this information. You are given the option, of course, to download the Prenuvo app with the expectation that you've already created your profile. You're going to go in, set everything up so that when that report is available to view, it's going to go right to your phone and your online portal, as well as, and this is a nice touch, to your primary care provider or any other doctor that you want to add on your paperwork. So when you're checking in, they give you the option to add in any doctor who you want to receive these results. I went ahead and just popped on my primary care doctor, who I love. She's one of those doctors that like spends all the time with you that you need. She answers all the questions. You know, she circles the drain with me. You know how I like to ask a question probably 14 times to get every possible shade and interpretation of an answer that I possibly can. And my doctor, bless her, goes through that exercise with me every time. So I was like, you know, if I need to revisit this, I probably should have her receive the imaging. So what your doctor is going to get is the full set of images, static. You also have access to the video images. I believe you have to request those separately because the file is big and it has to come on a disc, etc. She's going to get the doctor's report that was written up and everything. So whatever period of time it is, you're going to get those results back. You're going to log into your portal and all of that will be available. You're going to see a picture of the human body. And I would, let me see if I can open you and show you mine. But basically you get the doctor's written report, which is a PDF file. You get the static images showing you the pictures of your body. And then you can tap on another option to see the movement in the imaging, if that makes sense. So that's going to be accessible all on, okay, here we go. Whole body scan. Can you see that? This is why you have to do video. There we go. Basically, they make it really simple. They make it really user-friendly. So they call you, hey, Sunny, your results are in. You immediately break into a full body sweat and you sit there and you twiddle your thumbs for 24 hours or however long it is before you get the actual medical expert on the phone. Now, here's a potential downside. Got to shoot you straight here. For a medically anxious person, such as myself, to receive a set of documents and a written sort of doctor's report on your health prior to being able to access medical wisdom from said expert immediately, there's a space and time there where you're going to have some anxiety. It's hard. You have this report in your hands. You have this imaging in your hands. And your first impulse, if you're anything like me, is going to be immediately hopping onto Google and saying, Dr. Google, what does it mean that it says XYZ? And you may or may not, I did, spiral a little bit as you're searching these medical terms, generic medical terms on Google without any perspective. So this is a bit of a blind spot. And I don't know if they'll work on this or if this might differ by user experience. If you're getting your results in the middle of a traditional work week and that I got a registered nurse to walk through my results or a radiologist, whoever you get assigned to you to interpret that by phone, because it comes with a half hour phone call. Every person gets to speak to that medical expert, which is great. But if there's a gap of time between when you receive that information and you talk to that person, things are brewing. The worry could brew. You're going to go online. You're going to ask Google all of the questions that you want to ask that doctor, but you're not going to have the perspective that a human familiar with your case would be. So be forewarned. It is not a reason to not get it, but it is something to think about if you trend anxious or medically anxious in any way. I got my results on a Saturday. I booked my call for a Monday and I log on and I see my dashboard. So they're going to show you by body part, right? It's the picture of the person, the nervous system, the respiratory system, the circulatory system, integumentary, we're going to look up the pronunciation, but something with an I system, the endocrine system, reproductive, urinary, musculoskeletal, and digestive system. And it's color-coded. So The first one that I noticed right at the top of the body, just as it is at the top of the list, is the nervous system. The nervous system is the brain, is the spinal cord. And I had minor findings. One of them in the old noggin. So I'm so hesitant to even get into the detail of this because I'm still kind of trying to work through what this is all about. Changes of minimal, non-specific cerebral white matter microangiopathy. So don't take this as medical advice. Ready? This is the disclaimer. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a medical expert. Do not take anything I say as medical advice, and please always consult your own medical practitioner before receiving any diagnosis or interpreting any medical results. Thank you. Basically, little dots, a couple of little dots on the brain, which are areas of like decreased circulation, which is what I was told. Guys, my heart's beating fast even. So I'm going to give you the TLDR version, the too long didn't read version. Basically, things are fine. No current pathological significance. They classify this as a minor finding. And they're saying basically, this is not a diagnosis. There's no pathological significance here. We're not seeing anything happening. In speaking to some really amazing actual medical doctors that I have in my life, I was told that if you were to take people off the streets, a group of pretty much anyone out there beyond a certain age would have what I was told were UBO, unidentified bright objects. And so I was basically told it's really nothing to worry about. When someone tells me there's nothing to worry about, what do you think it is that I do? I worry. It's really hard. But I went ahead and actually spoke to several other people who've had MRIs. And interestingly enough, other people, even in their 30s, also have this. I was told this is like a thing of an aging brain and that it's nothing at the moment that's of any real significance. In fact, Prenuvo, the radiologist who reviewed this, will give you a recommendation on when to go back for additional scanning. And that can be anywhere from 6 months to 2 years. So they were like, this is a minor finding. Come back in 2 years if you want to. You really don't even need to. What will we do? I don't know. If I'm in the mood to starve myself due to anxiety, then maybe I'll book another one in 2 years and I'll have the added benefit of losing 5 pounds because I won't eat a single thing in anticipation of the stress that this result will bring. It's like the upside of my raging medical anxiety is that I don't get hungry. So if I'm trying to get like bikini ready for summertime, all I have to do is book a meaningful medical process and chances are I won't eat for a week. So I don't recommend it, but we are who we are. I don't stress eat. I stress starve. It's a whole thing. All of that being said, I was able to, even speaking to the Prenuvo medical expert that I was assigned to, the registered nurse, she was very kind. She went through all of this with me and she's like, listen, this is not a big deal. I need you to repeat after me. This is not a big deal. But guys, this is what you have to know going in, that you could find something that really stresses you out. Everything else is pretty much fine. I do have a neck, something in my cervical. Is that the right word? Hold on 1 second. We're looking it up. Spine. Oh yeah. The cervical spine. I knew that this was an issue because I have I have the neck of an 85-year-old war veteran. It's horrible. You would think that I was like an active combat for a decade. I don't know what's going on with my neck, but it's nice to know that there's a medical reason for it. So basically there's just some misalignment in my neck, but basically everything else fine. Thank God. We're grateful. We knock on all the wood. We do all of the crazy OCD ritualistic things. When we talk about this stuff, things are fine. But here's what I want to stress to you. When you do this stuff, you need to know that you're going to find out stuff. Things that you would have no occasion to know. A big thing that these multiple doctors that I consulted were saying to me was, Do you have migraines? Do you have, I forget what the other things were, or memory impairment? Do you have I don't have anything. I'm fine. So as a result, I don't really need to worry or pay attention to it unless I choose to continue to worry and pay attention to it. But from what I understand, and this is what I hope to have a guest on to speak about. So fingers crossed that this guest comes through. We discussed potentially having her on, so we'll see. But, you know, I'm glad to know that everything is fine. And thank God the rest of the body was totally clear. But you need to think about this before you go in. If someone asked me today, would you do this again? I think probably 60 to 40, I would still say yes. I think the upside of this test, which is knowing, having that global picture of your health, still outweighs any anxiety or stress that could come as a result of what you find. It still does, right? The fact is, there are things that grow in the body and are so small that you would never know they're there until you become symptomatic, like my grandfather, and it's beyond the point of treatment, or you become symptomatic and it's more difficult to treat. So I would still do it. I would keep the mindset of this. And this is what I said before, and this is what I'm saying again. And I really want you to internalize this if you're considering this scan or any other preventive health test that gives you a picture of your health. You doing this test is not going to change what is already actually and factually happening in your body. You knowing that you've got a few brain dimples, asymptomatic brain dimples, or whatever else it is that's going on in your body, you knowing that doesn't change the fact of their existence. So you can take that mindset and say, that's empowering. I'm prepared. I'm putting on my armor, putting on my mental armor, and preparing for this in a way that arms me with information and gives me power. That's one way to do it. But if you don't put on that armor, and if you don't pump yourself up and understand and truly feel, you have to feel like knowledge is power here. You cannot do this with a weak constitution, because you're going to get some kind of something. If you're beyond the age of 40, I can promise you, you're going to get some kind of news about something. It could be minor, it could be major. You got to go in with that mindset. Because if you go in and you do this and you find something out and it rocks your world, which it will, no matter how minute, because in our minds, we're all perfect, young, thriving beings, you can completely mentally degrade. And that's the other option. And you can't do that. So you need to understand yourself and your own mental constitution before you do this. Because if there's even a chance that what you find out sends you down path B, don't do it. It's not worth it. But if you can talk yourself into a state, or work with a therapist, or talk to a friend and get yourself into the state of mind where knowledge is power, knowledge gives us direction, then do it. I'm glad I did it. I wouldn't change it. It gives me a picture of my health that my grandfather didn't have. The people that have dealt with disease over countless millennia didn't have, and I'm grateful. But you need to know that. Interestingly enough, I got a message on Instagram about medical anxiety, and I've joked about this before. And on a serious note, I'm actually doing a lot of work on breaking through that. It's a real side effect of my OCD and circular thought. And I say, you know, circling the drain and repetitive worrying and constant need for a pattern of reassurance is big. Like, I joke about it because, you know, it's like that saying, if you don't laugh, you'll cry. Like, my brain is locked in on some pretty difficult patterns at times. It's just the way I'm wired. I feel like I'm only realizing as an adult how everyone's got something. I'm not going to be weird about this and like make this some big emotional moment, but it was emotional as a 40 something year old getting that type of diagnosis and being like, oh my gosh, you know what? It all makes sense now. Like, I have to work with my brain on unlocking from those patterns and forcing myself into a state of acceptance and understanding that there is no control to be had in life. Like, that's my homework. So someone said, oh, you know, I have really bad medical anxiety too. What do you do that works? And I told that person, and this is not medical advice again, what works for me is something that my therapist ran me through a while ago, which is exposure to the idea of lack of control. Understanding the same thing I told myself on the bright line back from Boca when I was answering this question as I'm telling myself now, which is sit with the discomfort. You are going to go through things in life and chances are you won't have control. Sit with the discomfort if the worst case scenario pops into your mind. Tell that thought, you could be real. This could happen. There's a chance that when I do this, I could find out life-altering information. Or there's a chance that when I walk out the door, I could get run over by a car or someone I love could I don't even like to verbalize it. It's even difficult to verbalize. But accepting that there is no control I have over situations. And that's not a good thing or a bad thing. It is a thing. And exposing myself to the reality of that on a regular basis is my work and what's working for me. And that's why I think when I went into this test, I was able to, Sunny, last year or 2 years ago or however long ago, I don't know that I would have been able to handle this as well as I have been. And I didn't even get bigger bad news. Like, I'm making this some big deal. Like, but that work has been important for me, is that accepting that whatever you do, whatever, like, if you're like me, crazy little things you think or rituals you do to prevent something from happening or to make sure it's not working. We are not in control. We are not the puppet masters, right? No matter what you want out of something, you can put in the work and the effort and the attitude, which are absolutely worthy traits to have, a good attitude and perseverance. But there are some things you can't control. So, you know, that's how I dealt with my sort of medical anxiety as it pertains to this test or anything that I'm doing health-wise. You have to make sure that you're mentally strong enough to do it. This is like a big deal. In fact, I'm looking back now and I'm thinking, my God, like, this was a little, it's intense. You get a lot of information, and it's easy to be 25 and sign up to do this. It's not as easy when you're almost 43. And I can imagine it would be even more difficult as a 50, 60, 70 year old doing this. You're signing up to get a lot of information about your body. And it's a blessing that we're able to do so, but arm yourself with the people around you and the resources around you that you will need to deal with whatever it is that comes your way. And I trust that everyone out there knows who those people are for you. You're going to get a level of support with Prenuvo. It comes baked in. I think it's wonderful that they offer that phone conversation with a doctor or an RN. I think that's wonderful. Is that going to be enough for you when you get your results? I don't know that. Only you can answer that. I mean, thank God I have doctors in my life that I can just buzzy buzz and be like, hey, is this normal? I have been known to go to doctors that I know in their personal homes and rip my shirt off and have them feel up my boob to see if, is this normal? I mean, this is me. So if you have the ability to calm yourself and to keep calm through it, do it. If you got the money and the time, do it. If you want to do it, you're getting invaluable information. But that's the support you're going to get on the back end. And interestingly enough, speaking with one of these amazing people that I have in my life, she's actually a brain surgeon. And so she was one of the people that really comforted me after I started to veer toward the deep end. And she said, Sunny, this is the danger. With this, with knowledge comes power and also a little bit of risk. Those are my words. She said, I can't tell you how many calls I'm getting from people who are doing this type of test, and they're seeing things like that were on yours that are of no clinical significance, and yet they are worried, out of their minds worried, so to speak. And they're asking, what is this? What does this mean? And she's like, this is the risk. So while there is a tremendous upside, that is something that I want you to know going into this. I hope that answered all of your questions, guys. And thank you for letting me be vulnerable with you. These solo episodes are fun. You know, I'm really used to deflecting back outward and focusing on a guest. It feels a little self-indulgent, you know, sometimes to just get on a mic and ramble for an hour. But I like it. And I find it to be a great way for you guys to get an idea of like what's going on in my world and what informs this podcast and the type of guests and subjects that I bring on. So I think I'm going to try to do more of these and just get on and, you know, shoot with you once in a while. So yeah, I hope that helped. I put on a full review on my website. I encourage you to go to wegottatalk.com, scroll down. The blog is right there. You can see all of this information written in black and white. So if there's something that you didn't catch or that I didn't cover in great enough detail, chances are I covered it there. I'm also giving away 2 gift cards for $200 off of your Prenuvo scan, but you have to be signed up for the newsletter because I'm running the contest entirely through actually both newsletter and social. So keep your eyes on that. I will put the link to sign up for the newsletter in show notes. And I'm not going to draw that winner until I've given everyone enough time to sign up. And I hope you enter if you're down for the challenge, baby. Are you bold enough? I'm making this sound like it's like the gauntlet. It is. You need to know this though. I feel like this is valuable information. Everybody's going to get on and tell, and it is, it's beautiful. It's information is power. It's wonderful. But please know when you sign up to get information, you're going to get it and you're going to get it down to a tiny, tiny fraction of a detail in MRI. So anyhow, it's been fun. Rate, review. You can do that in Spotify now too. Like seriously, please do that. I'm not above begging. I need more reviews. I know this show is good. So I need the help in getting a couple of more good reviews to kind of make these shows more accessible to people who might find them useful or helpful in some way. So do that. Spotify, Apple Podcasts. That's it. I'll be back with more good stuff here on We Gotta Talk. As we always say, I like to keep you hot, smart, and healthy. So we're going to bring on some guests to help us do just that in the coming weeks. That's it. Have a great day, guys. Talk to you soon.